by experimental data, because there is always some way of manipulating the theory, or the auxiliary assumptions, to create an agreement between theory and experiment. At some point, one simply has to decide whether the elaborations that are needed to avoid conflict with experiment are just too ugly to believe. Indeed, after the Oxford-Seattle experiments, many of us theorists went to work to try to find some little modification of the electroweak theory that would explain why the neutral current forces did not have the expected kind of asymmetry between right and left. We thought at first it would be possible to make the theory just a little bit uglier and get it to agree with all the data. I recall at one point Ben Lee flew to Palo Alto, where I was spending the year, and I gave up a long-planned trip to Yosemite to work with him trying to modify the electroweak theory to fit the latest data, including misleading hints of other discrepancies from high-energy neutrino reactions. But nothing seemed to work. One of the problems was that experiments at CERN and Fermilab had already provided us with a great deal of data about the scattering of neutrinos in collisions with protons and neutrons, almost all of which seemed to verify the original version of the electroweak theory. It was difficult to see how any other theory could do this and also agree with the bismuth results in a natural way, that is, without having to introduce many complications that were carefully adjusted to fit the data. Back at Harvard a little later, Howard Gyorgy and I developed a general argument that there was no natural way to make the electroweak theory agree with the data that were coming from Oxford and Seattle, and also with the older data on neutrino reactions. This, of course, did not stop some theorists from constructing very unnatural theories, an activity that came to be known around Boston as committing an unnatural act, in accordance with the oldest rule of progress in science, that it is better to be doing something than nothing. Then, in 1978, a new experiment at Stanford measured the weak force between electrons and atomic nuclei in an entirely different way, not by using the electrons in the atoms of bismuth, but by scattering a beam of electrons from a high-energy accelerator at Stanford off the nuclei of deuterium. There was nothing special about the choice of deuterium. It was simply a convenient source of protons and neutrons. The experimenters now found the expected asymmetry between right and left. In this experiment, the asymmetry showed up as a difference in the rate of scattering between electrons that are spinning to the left or to the right. We say that a moving particle is spinning to the right or left if the fingers of the right or left hand point in the direction of the spin when the thumb is pointed in the direction of motion. The difference in the scattering rates was measured to be about 1 part in 10,000.